I'm glad that Tim thought to read the love chapter this morning, being that it's Valentine's Day, because I didn't want to switch from Satan, which we've been looking at and will be looking at, over to love. So, Tim, thanks for being on the job there and bringing in a little bit of love for Valentine's Day. Our lesson today is continuing on that bad guy, that rascal, Satan. And more specifically then, a question. War on the saints? Does Satan have a war on the saints? Well, the katabole, most of you know that Greek word katabole, which means overthrow of the world, that we see there in the first chapter, in verse 2 of Genesis, was a judgment by God upon sin. And that sin was not of those who were men. Satan, we are told, sinneth from the beginning and abode not in the truth, and that he fell from his lofty position. We've read about that there with regard to the prince and the king of Tyre. What a magnificent being that he was. And in his fall away from grace, he drew away other angels with him. Thereby, he forfeited his glorious realm. And man, headed by Christ, is destined to take the place of rule in heaven and on earth in our dominion that was given to us as it was once Satan. However, as soon as man was given dominion, Satan saw his rival and plotted his downfall. And there the slander from the slanderer, Satan, who is a liar, started. And we looked at that last week in some detail. Remember, he said to Eve, he said, God has said, ye shall be as God, and ye shall not surely die. And so here he comes forth with the first lie. You will not die. So just as the sin of Satan caused him to be cast out of the mountain of God, so likewise the sin of man caused him to be cast out of the garden of God. And the cherubim were put there so that man could not go back in to the tree of life. But the good news is that man had been attacked by the enemy Satan, and for him was provided redemption in the great kinsman redeemer, who is Christ Jesus. Yet, while the ages last, this onslaught between man and the serpent is ongoing, and the results of that serpent are against man ongoing. Until at last the serpent's head shall be crushed, according to what we read in Scripture, Satan shall be done away with, all the true seed of promise restored, paradise regained with its river and the tree of life again. Former things will have passed away, things that we are faced with today with regard to evil in the world. And God will once again be all in all as he was in the heavenlies before the creation of Satan. In the interim, Satan is given a new title. And we find that in the book of Ephesians. So open your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. page 1761 in the Companion Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Notice the prince of the power of the air is what is described there as Satan. And the question is, why the air? And why now is this being revealed here by Paul at this time? Well, in the light of the context, this title of Satan contains the whole doctrine of the relationship with the church of the one body in Christ. This section that we just read opens with the exalted position of Christ there in the heavenlies as a result of his death and resurrection and ascension in the heavenlies, far above all, with all under his feet. He has conquered what he's needed to conquer. And then that section closes with us also raised or reckoned as such, and seated in the same glory at the right hand of God. And it contrasts two great spiritual forces at work that we live in today. There in verse 19 and 20, according to the inworking of the strength of his might, which he invoked in Christ, that inworking or that power or spiritual force, according to that of the inworking of Christ, is one force. And then in verses 2, chapter 2, verse 2, the other force, the prince of the authority of the air, the spirit that now inworks in the children of disobedience. Now, it's important to understand the children of disobedience. What is the children of disobedience? Well, surprisingly, it's not disobedient children, as it sounds like. But that is reference to the sons of God, the angels that followed Satan, who did not believe God. They believed in God, but they did not believe God. They decided to do whatever they wanted to do, and they followed after Satan. So we're not speaking of disobedient children here. We're talking of the sons of God, insurrect angels, and non-believers that we find today in the world who are influenced by the forces of evil. Now, contrary to popular belief, we are not at war. We are not at war as members of the one body with Satan. It's true that while Christ is not yet manifestly head of all things, he is to the church of the one body in Christ already. So whatever Satan's authority may have been before this world, or even when Christ was in the flesh here on the earth, where Satan tempted him and tried to show him the world and said, I'll give this to you. Whatever Satan's authority was at that time, it is clear that at the present time he has no authority over you, over me, where we sit in the heavenlies at the right hand of God, reckoned so already for those that are Christians. Those that are a member who believe are protected already. This is in harmony with Colossians. Turn over a couple books there to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 13, commensurate with what we read there in Ephesians, in verse 13, who, speaking of Christ, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This is in complete harmony with what we read there in Ephesians. Delivered out of the authority of darkness, Satan and the evil that exists as a result of him, translated into the kingdom of the Son of love, that being Christ. And we find even, you don't need to go there, but even John, who did not write for the church of the one body that we know today with a heavenly calling, he wrote there in the 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So get this out of your head, that Satan is throwing stumbling blocks in front of you. That's not true. However, here is what you hear all the time. What I call scare tactics. One day, God may let a storm from the pit of hell break upon you, not because he wants to weaken you, but that you may be strong. It is possible that the writer of such a statement have the remotest idea of our foundation and security with Christ. Someone that teaches and preaches that has no clue as to the victory that we have through our Savior and our Lord Christ Jesus. To allow demon possession or satanic authority into the realm of the church at the right hand of God is to assist Satan in his lies and to not to resist him. Peter, the other one of the apostles, could rightly say to the dispersion of Israel that your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He could say that sort of thing. All of the scripture quoted to support the teaching that Satan still has authority over the mind and body of the spirit are taken from scripture that deal with dispensations other than where we live today. Those scriptures all revert back to the nation of Israel. But Peter did not mix the message. He knew the sphere of Satan's patrol and his antagonisms to the restoration of Israel, that he kept them there. And even when we do read in the scripture of the rebuking of Satan, there's nothing to compare to the tone of the language adopted by Paul when the church of the one body comes into being there in Ephesians that we read. The basic truth is that in the dispensation of the mystery, or therefore in the period of time in which we live, where Paul revealed that there's a heavenly calling, second part of God's plan, a new heaven and a new earth, that during this time we have for the first time a concrete example or foreshadowing of that new creation where God shall be all in all. We have not need to be afraid or of the foe, Satan. Well, someone is going to say, oh, what about Ephesians 6? You know what I'm talking about? Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. 1770 in the Companion Bible. Beginning with verse 10. Paul speaking, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What about that? Well, the first thing is to notice that there is not one word in that passage that means warfare, conquest, or fighting. And there is but one weapon provided, and that's not prayer. For prayer is entirely between the believer and the Lord. The weapon is what? The Word of God, truth. And so, what are then these wiles or these fiery darts that are being spoken of? Well, sometime, as you know, you need to look at some of the Greek words because they have various meanings like Tim was pointing out with the word charity. It can be translated love. We find the same thing with a lot of scripture. It depends on your understanding as to how the word might be translated. But the word wiles is a Greek word called methodia. And it has to do with the doctrine of demons. It has to do with these demons, and it counters that weapon with truth. Dr. Bullinger, years ago, pointed out, quote, it is true that a superficial reading of this passage gives the impression that our wrestling is in heavenly places, but this is not so. First, we are told with whom we do not wrestle, and that is with flesh and blood. Then, at the end, and typically, as Paul always does, it's in parentheses, at the end, that we do not wrestle in heavenly places. Then, the positive side, we do wrestle with spiritual wickedness, and it is in this world. That spiritual wickedness is a result of the evil of disobedient children, non-believers, that we find ourselves living in a society and in a world that's plagued with evil. There's no thought in Ephesians 6 of the members of the one body fighting to obtain victory. You can't find that in that verse, those verses. That particular thinking and that kind of doctrine suits Satan. He likes that. For it disguises the fact that he is already conquered, and the believer is already more than a conqueror. That's you. He's been rendered ineffective as far as you, if you are in fact a Christian. And you didn't have to do anything, basically, except believe. Good example of this is found there in the Old Testament. And as you know, there's always foreshadowing of events in Scripture, but there in the Old Testament, Israel, when they came into their possessions there in the land, one of their decisive victories that took place was the overthrow of Jericho. And if you remember, how did they take Jericho? They didn't do nothing. They walked around the city 13 times, blew the horn, the walls fell down. They took Jericho not by fighting, they took Jericho by faith. And that's how you take Satan today. You take him by faith, by belief. The analogy holds true in this case. So, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ spoiled, as we read, principalities and powers. He led captivity captive. What is that? Those are spirit beings that took on human bodies in the Old Testament. And as a result of that, giants came into being. And those beings that did that, by the way, were angels. And there's no female angels. There's only male angels. And when they died, once they took on a body, they're captive into death. There's no way out for them. Why? Because they didn't believe God in the first place. They believed in God, but they did not believe God. So they became captive. And when he was resurrected, it says he took them with him. And they are to be forever destroyed. And he placed all things under the feet of Christ. And God seated the church of the one body in the heavenlies. And that's where we are today, spiritually protected from evil, cannot touch us. The soldier of Christ, the believer, stands or endures. We're not fighting. That armor there that we read about in Ephesians is all protective. It's a helmet. It's a shield. It's girded about. You're protected from this evil doctrine that's being taught today with regard to all sorts of things. I don't have to bring them up. You can see it in legislature, in political things, political events. So we are given an armor to protect ourselves, an armor of understanding. It has nothing to do with fighting, more to do with enduring hardness, trouble, afflictions, being patient, fighting the good fight against evil as brought about by man, not Satan. although he's behind it all. But we, in fact, have been made more than conquerors through the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus. I'm grateful for that on this day of love, and I hope you are too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the written word. We're thankful for the understanding that we can have through it. And I pray that each one of us will continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you, that you will give us open hearts and open minds. Pray that as we leave, may we all be rooted and grounded in your love. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.